One, roll the footage. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Simon Severino, your host. And today I have asked executive coach Franziska Gonder to be with us because I want to explore how can we find into radical clarity? Is there a way to emotional freedom? And how can we stay in our bottomless capacity? I mean, what else should we talk, right? These three things, if we just can get near them, wow. Welcome, Franziska Gonder.
Hey, thank you for having me. What an incredible topic to choose, bottomless capacity. Yeah, I'm here for it. Let's go.
Let's start there. Maybe you can also tell us who are you here to serve and how does bottomless capacity look like?
Yeah. Who am I here to serve? I serve CEOs, founders, executives, humans. political operatives, and in the back of my life, I always say people who give a shit, but like people who deeply care about their mission, their vision, and they want to give it their best. And I think the difference with some of the folks that I'm working with is that they've experienced enough to know that it's not another productivity hack. It's not another thing that, you know, they need to look for. It's that they need to look inside. They need to look deeper into what bottlenecks them, what the personal barriers, the emotional barriers, the mental barriers, physical barriers even are. So I work a lot with like somatic elements, like body related tools, in order to help people to understand where mini traumas stand, where larger traumas sit, and how, or like conditioned tendencies, as we call it, like things, habits that have gotten in the way of kind of being in the flow of their lives, showing up present for the work that they're doing, being in better exchange with others, having better conversations. And so there's a lot of elements like that. And I think the folks who choose to do this work are ready for that. They're also a little frightened. I should say that. It's not an easy thing to do, to kind of like, you know, in the busy days of your lives, to kind of like spend 60 to 90 minutes in that coaching container and then go really deep. But I think they've gotten to a point where they understand if I don't go there, then I don't know where I'm really going. You know, I can't really create from the place where I've come from, or I should rather say from where I'm coming from that has served me really well. That was great, but it's not getting me to where I want to go. And I know I'm the bottleneck, and I see that especially with like CEOs, founders, executives who like just have to kind of like be on the growth edge all the time in order to continue serving their people and their missions. So.
I love this. I came to one of your workshops. It was about the annual review, looking back at the year and what's calling me and what's here for me and how am I expanding into the next year. I really liked it. I do also every December an annual review, but as a host, I never let myself completely into the process. I'm always holding the space for the others. And so when I saw that, oh my God, she's doing that. And I could just be a member there and experience it from the other side. It was really beautiful because it was a very safe space, full of people, all inspiring people. So listeners, if you are listening to this, definitely check out franziskagonder.com and the events. They are really good events.
Thank you. Yeah, I really love what you just said around being a member. I think just picking up on that, as a leader, sometimes we also have to remember, like literally take the word member, like we kind of like have to become our own member again, remembering ourselves, where we are, where we're going, what we're doing, what is supporting us, how are we holding ourselves, all of those kind of things. And I really think that is the essence of a lot of like the one-on-one work that I do and the workshops that I do, of just kind of like remembering ourselves. So I think that's a, because most of the answers are inside of ourselves. Not most of them, all of them, they're inside of ourselves. We just don't spend enough time in this sort of like judgment-free, reflected, experiential place with ourselves, experimental place too. And so I'm here to provide that. That's my mission.
You know, I love it that you say remembering, because you have three kids. I have three kids.
Yeah.
Every child helped me remember something about myself. I had forgotten. Yeah. I want to laugh and have an open heart. I want to be on the floor. I want to make friends all the time. I want to laugh when I fart. All these things I had forgotten. And totally. Every child reminds me again and again. It's not always super positive, but I get reminded, remembered.
Yes. Yeah, you're remembering another part of yourself, right?
Exactly.
I feel that a lot. I often say to some of the folks that I'm working with, I think there's another woman that was born each time I gave birth to my boys. I have three boys. So with each child, I was giving a new shape. I was given a new Gestalt, as we say in German, right? Like there's a new part of me that was born. And that took some time to adjust to integrate, to live in. And it was partially hard. Oh, it became harder with each new child, because you already had a child, so you had to like show up for that one and integrate at the same time. And so I think there's a certain capacity that we have to build for ourselves to be more emotionally fluid in moments of change. And that comes with like, you know, what the kind of like nervous system regulating tools are that you have, and how do you bring yourself back into your body? How do you stay present? But also things like, you know, how do you have conversations where you just actively listen and you really just absorb what the other person is saying, where you really just absorb the moment and you're really not just like coming with an agenda already. Like as parents, we so often come with an agenda, right? Like, don't do that. Don't do that. Like, you can't do that. This is not okay. This is not appropriate. Da, 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 da. But if we really listen to our children, what they really have to say, why they're frustrated, right? Why they're scared, why they're laughing about the fart jokes so much. Like there's something so pure and so connected in there. And if we would just go there, like we wouldn't have the daily battles with our kids that everybody always talks about, right? So I think the same applies in leadership too. It's the same thing. It's just a different theme, it's a different field of life, but it's the same thing.
What are typical questions that you get from your clients?
Oh, that's a really good question, because it's like, what are the questions and then what is it that they're really asking? Mm-hmm. Right, so questions are, my turnover is really high and I don't know why. And or I can't seem to think straight anymore. I can't think creatively anymore. I'm really stuck. I have a really hard time managing folks in this moment of transition. I am in a big moment of change myself, and have no idea how to lead myself through it. I just feel that the things that have gotten me here, what I said earlier, that the things that have gotten me here are not applying anymore. And I'm constantly just like moving against that wall, right? It's like, it's almost like it's a repetitive motion. I'm kind of like hitting a wall here and I don't know how to get out of it. A lot has to do with either not being to lead effectively, not being able to like bring certain things across that they need to bring across, right? So they're stuck somewhere in like relating to the people, relating to themselves, unblocking themselves, unblocking their creativity and their presence. So it's a very like critical. During COVID, it was also oftentimes related to like, how do I lead myself in this like really tricky moment in time now that everybody is at home and I'm here, and you know, what do I need to do and what are some of the things that I need to give my people so that they feel a sense of like belonging, safety, dignity. I talk a lot about that in my work, belonging, safety, and dignity. I'm sure we're going to get to that, but and how do I make sure I stay connected to my people. There was a lot there. And I think there's also some folks that very much realize that they have trauma and it's getting in the way. So there's a few folks that like, I went to therapy, I did all the leadership development courses, but like nothing really clicks, right? And because I have both backgrounds, I can serve in that area.
Let's double click into belonging, safety, dignity. How do those things show up in your work?
I don't know if they show up in my work or if they show up in all of us and we've forgotten about it. So if I zoom out into the very beginning of when I started all of this work for myself in my own journey as a leader, but also in my own healing journey, coming with my own pretty severe set of trauma, I was reminded that the thing that I lacked the most in a certain part of my childhood was belonging, safety, and dignity. And I couldn't articulate it at the time, but when I got into somatic leadership, one of my mentors reminded me, but also put the neuroscience behind it, reminded me that we need to think about belonging, safety, and dignity almost like as the Maslow hierarchy of needs for our nervous system. So with belonging, with safety, with dignity, our nervous system is in a fairly regulated state, and we can kind of like safely and fluidly navigate life. Right, less like even if stressors are coming up, we always feel like we move from stress back into digest and rest, and it's like it's kind of fluid, everything is okay, we'll manage. But because that is so easy to be taken away from us, too, right? So I'll bring COVID up as an example again. What were the things that were taken away from us when COVID hit? Belonging, right? Because we had to isolate. We weren't together with our people anymore. We are creatures of belonging, right? So we connect, we need to be together. This is sort of like our essence as humans. Safety, right? We all felt frightened all the time, right? Like you and I were afraid to see each other because you could give me something that I don't know how my body would react to that, right? And then the media took that and just like, made that this like huge thing. So we were all afraid, right? No safety anymore, no psychological safety, physical safety, mental, emotional safety. And then dignity, right? We were all alienated from each other. Like you could have been a threat to me, right? And so, and when we think about organizations and the way they build culture, one of the three is oftentimes missing. Based on my experience and me building companies myself and making a ton of mistakes myself. Belonging, safety, and dignity really is kind of like, I think it's a natural theme. It's almost like a natural law. And we've just forgotten about it, how important it is for us to feel that, to acknowledge that, and to lead with that.
Totally. Very powerful. And as leaders, we are always part of shaping that, of holding that, of reviewing that together. Mm-hmm. And if we miss one of those parts, we definitely create a fragile situation and a ton of tension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. I think we've all been in meetings. We've all been in meetings where a manager comes in and is not present. Like, it's kind of like, I call this helicopter management, right? He comes in or she comes in and is sort of like, okay, so what are we doing today? Dim, 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 right? And then we just like go through the motions of the agenda, and there's just like, there's no trust in that moment. I don't feel like I can trust that person in that moment to be like, let me raise a concern that I have. Let me actually, as you said that, I'm not sure I agree with that, because I just talked to a client about X, Y, and Z, right? And so I think the very first thing that we can do in order to foster belonging, for instance, and safety, they're oftentimes very like intertwined, but yet got to be careful with that, is to kind of just like take the edge off a little bit, slow down, right? So very simple things that we can do even in order to foster elements of belonging, elements of safety, is sort of like just to arrive in the room and be like, let's take a minute. Let's take a moment to breathe. Where's everybody coming from? How are you feeling today? You ready for this? You know, just to sort of like give yourself a moment to arrive. Very simple, not rocket science at all. Huge effect, right? I want to be seen by you. You want to be seen by me. But in the sort of like hustle culture that we're all in and have grown up in, it feels like we're slowing down, even though we're going much faster when we take that moment.
Totally. And again, something that my kids help me remember, for example, one of my kids, he dreams often. He has a recurring dream where I forget him somewhere, and so he falls out of the family. And, you know, the situation here couldn't be more safe. It's five people. We are always together all the time. And we're mostly having fun together. And so there isn't the real risk of, you know, and anybody falling out of the five people system. Still, the topic is in the air, and he dreams it probably for all of us, right? Or it's here. It seems to be an universal topic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is fascinating. I have a son that had very severe eczema over the last, pretty much since he was born, but we finally managed to heal it in the last year. He's six now, and he's very different than the other two. Like, he looks different, different hair color, different body type, different. He's more of like the introvert, the other two are more extroverted. So he's like, you know, he's already kind of like a different soul in many ways. And he very much showed us, even though I'm the person here, you know, sitting here claiming like we all got to slow down, we got to be more present with each other, da da da. Like, he gave me another opportunity to slow down even more, to really see him. Like, I was like so busy like healing him. It's like, I made all the foods by myself, all the lotions by myself. I was like busy, 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 doing, making sure I'm the mother that he needs in order to heal him, right? So when I talk about eczema, like, some kids have it a little bit on the armpits. My son was covered, like head to toe, like the whole body was open. So it was really severe. And he slept in bandages for most of his life up until now. And I'm still laughing and I'm still in awe that this happened, but the one thing that has healed him was nervous system regulation. Like no creams, no, like of course, I mean, we're a healthy family, we eat, we work out, like all, yes, that is all important. But when we started to like talk about his feelings every single day and not just here and there, when we helped him to like kind of like release emotions from a day in kindergarten where he had a fight with a buddy or whatever it is, right? Like we have to learn how to respond not to the highest performer in our system, but also not the weakest link, but maybe the most sensitive link in our system, and kind of like see what is he pointing us towards in our system, right? I learned a lot about system-based leadership too. And in system-based leadership, we talk a lot about like, not what did you wrong, or you know, how well did you perform or whatever it is. It's more about like, what is the system requiring from us right now? And when we applied that to my son's healing, and everything changed. And it's the first winter that, and it didn't matter whether summer or winter, but the winter was usually harsher. It's the first winter and he has no outbreak. He's completely fine. He's a completely different boy, right? And I think I need to write about that at some point, of just like how that relates to like leadership too, but like it reminded me of just like how important it is that we all regulate each other, like that we kind of like watch out for what the system needs from us, not just like what we individually need in order to perform the best.
Yes, and sometimes we express something as part of the system, and yeah. And the whole system heals if we listen to it and if we take it seriously.
Totally. Absolutely. I could talk about this for hours, but yes.
Fascinating. Totally. Many people come here for sales advice, so I'm curious, what is working well in your world in terms of sales?
I took a few notes before we started recording this, and I looked back on the last like 3.5 years, and I was like, oh, it's actually really simple. Providing unexpected value. That was like the essence. I talk about a lot about that with my own coach too. And then the next thing that I wrote down was building relationships over winning a deal. So I think that is kind of like the essence of it. Like when I provide unexpected value to the people that I'm coaching, that I'm with, you know, sometimes I'm with people for like 10 to 12 months. Sometimes it's only 3, if it's sort of like a corporate engagement, right? It's like the employer pays for it. And so it's more like a 3-month thing. But sometimes individuals stay for 10, 12, 16 months, depending on how long their journey is or what they're working on. So that always giving it away, right? It's always like even in the first call, it's just sort of like, it's not the typical like, hey, how are you? What's your name? Like, what do you, tell me more about your story, right? But more of just sort of like starting with like, why are you here that is so dear to us that it needs the space from both of us, right? And then we basically have a coaching session right there and right then. And that's how we both cut through the chase and understand, can we relate to each other? Do we know how to, do I know how to provide value to your life? I think that is the biggest sales piece. And then I think up until like the year 2 in my coaching business, it was just referrals most of the time. And then only recently I started to kind of like just like trying to like break into other groups and, you know, more executives in another field. Maybe we're getting there later, but that was the main part of it. I always say I'm in the business of commitment and relationships, and it needs to come through in sales as well. Like, people don't need to decide right there and then if they want to work with me. Take your time. Do the right thing for yourself, you know?
And you have also a very active way of sharing your journey, which at the same time is very impactful content marketing. I'm reading your Substack newsletter and I love it. Let's share it with the world after one word from our sponsors. What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com. You write in a way that is totally personal, but also very deep. It sucks me in, like, oh my God, that's me. Maybe we because I also have kids and it's kind of a similar life situation and similar age. But it's also the way you share in a very vulnerable way what's not working and how you are processing it. Mm-hmm. How did you start write? Were you always good at copywriting, or what was your process?
I wish my husband was here because he would be laughing so hard right now. No, I was not at all, in fact. I think for the first, before I started this business, I was running another business. And, or I should say, before I started this practice, I ran another business. My husband was my copywriter. So I would write something. I would come up with ideas and then I would write it. And then he would be like, let me take that somewhere else. That just like, I know what you're trying to say because I know you, but this needs to sound different. Mm. So I knew I had to do something. And so I did three things. I always listened to what my husband had to say. He's an incredible copywriter and he's incredible at writing and communicating. So I had to listen to that. And then I did a writing course where I wrote for about 180 days every single day. And then I started over getting my own fear of needing it to be perfect. That was a huge piece. And I think the biggest part of all of it is actually that I started to write from exactly the place that you were witnessing it from. I started writing from a place of my own truth, and really honoring and appreciating that I had nothing to lose. That there's this kind of like joke in our family between my husband and me in particular. I asked him a few years ago, I asked, why are you so good at just asking dumb questions? You know, and why are you just don't care? Right. And he's like, I was just always fascinated by it. That's how I met him too. And he's like, and he looks at me and he's like, that's a beautiful question. And I was like, so what is it? And he said, it's because I know I'm a really good person. And that really stuck. That's a few years ago. And that really stuck with me. Something like really landed for me. And I was like, wow, I am a really good person. I shouldn't be so afraid. I'm coming from the right place. I just need to write what's true. And that kind of, And now I've been writing for so long and it's a meditation for me. It really is my sacred place. That's where I go when the world kind of like closes in on me and I need, you know, this is my bubble. This is where I go to like rejuvenate and also find a lot of stillness and clarity. So much clarity. Like my business is the way it is because I write, I would say.
Yes, I can see that. It's very powerful content marketing. And you know, when we say it's because you don't care, in the beginning you said you only work with people who care, who give a shit. It seems that actually you care so much about that part that is pure in you. Mm-hmm. And you want to keep that sacred and protect it. against whatever other people think that one should say or not say, which is much less pure usually, and more has more agendas in it, right?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. That, yes, that resonates. Yes.
Who? Now you have this newsletter, and it's really good. So how can listeners participate a little bit in this journey? So one was reclaiming the space from where you are writing. Now the writing got better. What happens now with the audience? Do you get letters? How do you invite them to the next level?
Yeah, so I'm in a bit of a, this year in particular, it started last year, and then this year in particular is a bit of a planning year for me. I'm practicing a lot of surrender at the moment too, of just kind of like really just doing the work. And that is a little bit more important almost for me than necessarily growing the business right now. Why? Because I'm planning to write a book. So I need to make sure I get more repetition and more practice, right, in like saying what needs to be said. And so while this is one element of like my ambition to write, the other element is also that we are now starting to turn this more into other pieces of content. So that's sort of like the next step right now. I'd say personally, because so much of what my son has gone through, sort of like on the health side of things over the last 2 years, I really kept my business to the bare minimum of things that I needed to do. And that for me was always, like I said earlier, providing unexpected value to my clients. So that was my core business. So I always made sure that one is just rolling. And so everything else, like writing, my podcast, newsletters, all of that stuff, was more of just sort of like, if I have the space and capacity to do that, I'll do it. And so now that's back, right? So a few weeks ago, season 2 of my podcast came out. We're starting to put like the content into more snippets and share it on more social media channels. I have a more frequent, there's more frequency in my newsletters again. So this is sort of like how I get out, but I'm still very drawn into just reaching out to people personally that I haven't talked to in a long time. And, you know, be like, I'd love to chat. Here's some of the things that I've been doing over the last few years. And then I link them to things, right, that I think would resonate because of the journey that I know or think, you know, they've been on. So I'm trying to also just humanly relate as much as possible. And have opportunities like this, right? Like share this authentic journey in podcasts. I give workshops. So I'm trying to, I call the sacred economy, you know, everybody's always the economy of scale, right? I call the sacred economy of just sort of like always making sure that this business that I'm in, which is about commitment and trust and growth and intimacy in many ways, is really seeping through in whatever I do. And so deriving value from that place.
What makes you happy as a dog?
What makes me happy as a dog? I wrote down so many beautiful things. They are now in no particular order, even though when I say my family, then that is definitely sort of like, that's my holy happy grail. I have an extremely loving marriage that is also very entrepreneurial. Like we're like kind of like we really love the idea of like building like this little empire together. I love my children more than anything else in the world. Spending time with them is the best thing. I lost my dad fairly early in my 20s. And there's a lot of things that I didn't say and didn't do with him. And so it feels all the more important to me to like really have like an incredibly good relationship with my children. I love lifting weights. I'm an athlete, and fitness is a big part of my life. I love my little sister and my big sister, but I recently found like a new harmony with my little sister that is expanding, and that makes me happy as a dog. Swimming, walking, dark chocolate, reading in bed with my son, road trips. And I think there's something that's another woman said in one of my leadership circles. I have like women leadership circles that meet biweekly. And she said, her name is Sonia. And she said, thank you for being a place where love is served at the table. And in that moment, I kind of like sat back in my chair and I was like, if that's not my life mission, then I don't know what. So
what a beautiful
that makes
picture.
That makes me happy as a dog. Yeah, what nature makes me also very, very, very happy. I spend a lot of time in nature. So.
I'm seeing almost your next book, and it has love served on the table.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, or belonging, safety, dignity when love is served at the table. So maybe that one.
What do you do to supercharge your relationships?
Any relationships? Yeah, this is a good question for me personally. I come from a place where I historically really struggled with keeping friendships alive in a meaningful, deep way. And I used to travel across the world for long periods of time in my 20s, and I was like a very dissociated person. I had a lot of pain and fears related to deep connection because of from the childhood that I come from. And so part of why my work around belonging, safety, dignity resonates so much with me is because of my own journey to that and to really making joy and belonging my default state, that I'm worth receiving all of that. And so today more often say what needs to be said. So when I notice a friend who's like really gave his or her best effort to create like a really nice atmosphere or something like that, then I would say, thank you for creating the space for us. I really see you. Just like really pointing things out, that especially where I come from in the German culture, but also in many ways my husband is American, like haven't really experienced that so much in the American culture either. Like this are not said, you know, randomly dropping an I love you, or like, you know, I appreciate you, or like, wow, I see you, how hard you work for this. I think the hardest part for me on this is to always, someone said like, you know, don't tell me about spiritual enlightenment if you haven't had a really difficult conversation with your family, something like that, right? And so I think I'm still and always will be working on that in my family. Like this is why I said like the new harmony with my sister is something that I'm like really deeply cherishing, because we're coming a long way, and I love her so deeply. So belonging, safety, dignity goes everywhere in my life. I try to show up for people. I really do. I try to like kind of like go the extra mile, and also say when I fucked up and say sorry.
I love this.
Yeah, I say sorry. Like I really think saying sorry and all of learning how to say sorry is a huge, huge deal. And I had to learn that too. And I do that with my children when I didn't do the thing that I wanted to do, with my husband, but I also do it with friends. Because as an entrepreneur, I often feel like I don't have all the time to always be so capacious for everyone. And it's a struggle. I consider that a struggle. Mm-hmm. I would love to be more available for others. But as you also know, being an entrepreneur takes a lot from you.
A lot
from you. And so it's an art. And I keep unfolding into it. And I'm here for it.
I resonate a lot with the part where you say those appreciations, like I feel that I love you, but maybe I don't say I love you during the day or in between tasks or when I meet you. Yes. And I've been trying to express more of what I see in my own marriage, in my client relationships. And it's a huge difference. So many times I think, wow, to my wife, who's also called Francisca, I think, wow, Francisca, how you handled the new sickness of our little daughter is amazing. And then you went to the next thing. But I don't have a moment to say it, and then I forget it. And then I sit down on my desk. I write her a WhatsApp. Literally, I WhatsApp my wife. I saw you doing this. I felt this and that. I love you.
Yeah.
It makes such a difference. If I just do three of these in a week, it's a different planet that I for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's belonging.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's also a trust account, right? It's like we... I do this with my clients too. So all of my clients, like the one-on-one ones, they all have 24/7 access to my WhatsApp, basically, right? So I say, like, please share all the breakthroughs. Please share all the thoughts. Please share big questions. Like, use this space as a trusted environment, right? Like, this is where you can be fully you. You can say things that are on your heart, on your mind, right, that need to be said, so that we can make the most of our time together. And even I can't tell you how many times I've heard, wow, that is so different. I still have to get used to that. What do you mean? I can just text you? Yes, you can just text me, right? And I think one of my favorite authors in the space that I'm in, Jerry Colonna, he talks a lot about like belonging, or like belong, right? And like how leaders really just also want to feel a sense of belonging as humans, right? Because we are always, as entrepreneurs, as founders, as executives, we always feel like we're pretty alone. It's a pretty lonely road, right? And so really embracing that and seeing that for them and honoring that that's where they're at, like on a pretty lonely path and always needing to make decisions for everyone else and all that kind of stuff, and being like, here's your space. Here's what you can literally drop anything here. I want that for them.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you know, I provide those spaces for my clients. It's also WhatsApp, and for our community, it's Slack, because it's more people. But those spaces, I actually think that I've built for myself more than for them, because it is connection, it is belonging for all different contributors. And this is beautiful. Do you envy someone?
Do I envy someone? That's an interesting question. I think I used to envy people. I had a few years ago where a woman that I appreciate, very much appreciate, said to me, what's your soul contract in life, Francie? And I was like, what? What do you mean with that? Right? Like, no idea. And what, after a lot of reflection on that, I was like, wow, like if we all would just honor and find out why we're here, what we're meant to do here, right? A soul contract. Like it's not just like sort of like my mission statement or my vision or some passions that I have, but like sort of like, what am I here to like learn about myself that I'm then here to like give away, right? Then there's nobody really that I need to compare myself to. And that was like so liberating, right? And I really believe that the work that I'm doing now is what I'm here to do. And so, and the family that I have built is also this like I don't know, the whole thing, like the family that I created with my husband and the visionary love that we have with each other, and then my and my work and all of that. I'm just like, it's all inside of me. I don't need to envy anyone. If I can see it, if I can feel it, if I can envy it in someone else, then I can do it myself too. I just need to check in whether I have the capacity for it or not, right? And so it becomes less of a struggle, more of just sort of like, am I ready for it? Am I not? So I don't think I really envy someone. I appreciate a lot of people. I really honor a lot of people. But yeah.
I envy people all the time, and I take it as an impulse to follow, to learn something about my current needs.
Yeah.
So like last week, I was totally envious of the All In podcast, and I go, why do they have such a cool podcast? And I realized then in exploring that, it's not so much the podcast itself, it's their friendship. They have a really cool friendship. And I am 43, yeah. I have three kids. So it's hard for me to keep those close friendships.
Yep.
Because of 100 reasons, but I have the need for friendship, and it's not the biggest part of my calendar during the week. So I realized, there is a need here that I'm not serving that much, and it pops up as envy when I see four friends talking in public.
It's beautiful what you just said, because it's an incredible example for like a somatic process, actually. Mm-hmm. What you did there is that you took an emotion that you felt, and instead of being at the mercy of it, instead of like fully like kind of like encapsulating and like constricting your body and feeling terrible about it and, you know, letting it ruin your day, quote unquote, you went there and said, let me just take that. Let me feel into that. Right? Why is that there? What is it really? It was judgment free, right? You didn't judge it. You were informed by it, but you were not at the mercy of it. And that's like, we can do that with so many other things in our lives too.
And so that's a somatic process. Guys, now we know what is a somatic process. It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. And there's obviously a lot more too, because the more complex it gets, you know, the longer it takes. But in trauma work, it's very similar. Right? Like when we say like, you know, I just can't do that. Okay. So where do you know that feeling from? Right. Well, but back when I was like 16 and my entire like soccer career got busted because, you know, I broke my leg or something like that. Right. Oh, so your body has stored something around the relationship with like efforting and then kind of like the fear of like failing at it. Right. So we can really use neuroscience and sort of like like how our body stores emotions in order to understand why we react in a certain way and why we, you know, do the things that we're doing. And in order to get out of it, we need to do exactly what you've been doing, is sort of like break the cycle instead of like being like, by the way, I don't think it's really envy. You're just like, you know, it's like, you're just curious and you're just like, why, what is it that they have that I don't have? And then you're exploring it. But then you can also find action from that place. And that is the most important part, that we're not just like kind of like reflecting for the sake of reflection, but kind of like leading and being like, what do I want to embody moving forward from that? I want to have closer friendships, right? I want to call our buddies a little bit more and be like, want to go out for a beer? You know, that kind of stuff. So we're trying to like overcouple that emotion. It's called overcoupling. Like, want to overcouple that emotion with a new inspired action.
Sounds fun. Guys, this is what we can do with Franziska Gonder. Make sure you check out her work at franziskagonder.com. Yeah. There is this amazing Substack. How do we find the Substack?
I think it's also franziskagonder.substack.com, but it's also on my website. So you guys should be able to access it from there. And then the podcast is Leadership That Heals the World.
Who are your ideal partners, allies, that should partner up with you?
So I work with corporates I work with, also venture capitalists, who sometimes then place me into their teams, you know, for leadership coaching or team coaching or workshops. I do the same with corporates, do workshops, and oftentimes then they say, like, you know, maybe you should talk to this person, more personally. I do in-house coaching too. So I, you know, on a retainer basis, kind of just supporting folks more internally. That's like, those are like very meaningful partnerships. And then personally, this year, I want to do more work in responsible tech and data ethics, data trust, how to improve, you know, also social media and stuff like that for our children. I come from this field, and I want to bring more of my new work into the field that I've been. And so those are like also partnerships that I'm personally looking for this year to make sure that I'm always creating, you know, greatest impact and value where I know I can add value.
How do you protect your confidence in tough times?
How do I protect my confidence in tough times? I think it used to be just talking to someone, and it has evolved into similar to what you were just sharing about the MVPs, like going inside and saying, like, how does this actually evolve me? I was just talking to my husband when I was preparing this, and I said, and he said, when you get triggered by someone's opinion or by something that has happened to you, you have like this kind of like visceral reaction, very, very clearly, very like, you know, it's very expressive. And so sort of like, wow, that is really like, that is wild. I can't believe, you know. And then a few minutes later, and I notice this a lot, a few minutes later, I often go like, and I go really inward and be like, what has this just inspired? What has this just triggered, right? Like, I need to work through that. And I think this is where a lot of my confidence comes from, because I don't believe that anybody is here to like put me down or like, you know, anything like that. It's like, it's everybody's always a reflection of me. Like, if you say something that resonates with me, then it's not you who said that, but it's like landing in my body in a certain way. Right. And so it's on me to take that and kind of digest that and become wiser as a result and reflect on that. And I think this is when we are able to connect more deeply with people, because then I start to see things in you and you start to see things in me that, you know, that you are able to point out and kind of just be like, let me share what I just sense from you. And that's when we get out of like the flat talk with each other, or like the chitty chatty stuff, right? But this is when it goes deeper. And I think this is also where my confidence comes from. And so this, in tough times, that's where I go. I come from a lot of really freaking tough times in my life. And I feel like I have great resilience when it comes to tough times. So I think that helps.
Like most entrepreneurs, I think.
Yes, and I see all of you. Yes,
we are not alone. And no. So where is the best place to follow you? It's franciscagonder.com. Mm-hmm. Where else? Are there favorite socials?
Yeah, my favorite is Twitter. I'm like, I don't know if I necessarily pursue a strategy on Twitter right now, because we just moved to Portugal and it just feels like I'm still finding my grounding in this new life. But I love Twitter. It's also Franciska Gonder, or like X, I should say. It's not Twitter anymore, it's X. I'm sorry, guys. And then I occasionally post on Instagram, also Franciska Gonder. My Substack is really my favorite place. And my podcast is a good place to kind of like understand how I talk and how I work and how I engage with people. And I think this is important to me. I consider social media more of like a place where people can find out more, not where I'm trying to like make the deals, if that makes sense. So if people find out about me, I want them to sort of like just understand who I am and what I'm doing and whether it resonates or not, and they can decide where they take it from there.
This is beautiful. The podcast people you can find also at franciscagondar.com, and then you click podcast, and
that's
it
right.
Brings you to Leadership That Heals the World, the podcast mm-hmm. with Franciska Gonda.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Franciska, please come back when your book is here so that we can celebrate your book.
Yes, I would love that. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit more. Yeah.
All right. Beautiful. Book party. Thank you book so much.
Thank
Keep
you.
Rolling.
You too. Bye.
Avoid trying to do thousands of things that doesn't work. We have 274 templates for your business success. Reach your ambitious goals with one-on-one sprint coach. We double your revenue in 90 days.
What if your business would run well even when you are on vacation? Discover how 1,600 business owners have regained their freedom using the Strategy Sprints Blueprints. How they enjoy living their dream and watching their business scale. Get the exact checklists they use to go from stressed to fulfilled using the Strategy Sprints method. Order your copy of Strategy Sprints 12 Ways to Accelerate Growth for an Agile Business on Amazon today. And if you love it, leave us a review. For more information, head over to strategysprints.com.